Okay, this is the hour. We'll take your phone calls, stories, and questions with Butch Witkowski as we talk about these strange creatures. It's just amazing. In the next hour, we'll start our Fright Night open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Butch Witkowski, and we're going to get to your calls in just a second. A few more little episodes here, Butch. As you investigate these cases, these abduction reports again seem to baffle me. You know, when the late Bud Hopkins was with us and John Mack, most of their cases they felt were intriguing but not dangerous. David Jacobs, on the other hand, he doesn't like these at all. Is there any middle ground here?
No, I tend to agree with Dr. Jacobs. People, you know, after an abduction, you know, a lot of these people suffer the rest of their lives with this.
They do. It scars them.
It's an experience in their mind that just doesn't let go. And you find that in some cases that we've looked at where it's just not one individual in a family, it may be multiple family members that have been abducted over a series of years. And that just has to be devastating, just devastating.
Sure is. Well, I got to tell you, of these things we've just talked about over the past hour, this wolf-looking creature is weird. I mean, I don't want to find this thing or stumble into it.
Neither do I. I'd rather just get a picture or some film or, you know, video or something. I'm not going to chase in the woods. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin
in
a 4,700-acre forest. So we're going to try some technology this second time around and set up in an area where we're going to view the woods, but we're not going to be in the woods. We'll be in a large field, and we'll have more members
mm-hmm.
of different groups
That's
that will
smart.
Be helping us this time.
That's smart.
So we can spread out a little bit, and we've obtained some newer technology with infrared cameras and video, more so than what we already have, plus some more of the heat-seeking devices, you know, the thermal imaging devices. So hopefully we can come up with something because, you know, we've got a report of a gentleman that walks that area, an older gentleman, lives right down the road from the park ranger, and he walks in that field, and he says he sees a large shadow, like a man, but very tall, running through the woods.
We used to have some woods behind our place in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
and when my son was about 15, he and his buddy would dabble in the woods. They wouldn't go too deep. I wouldn't let them do that, but you know, they went in the woods a little bit and played around and looked for some animals, and then they came back. Well, one day he comes running out of there, out of the woods, and I said, Jonathan, what's wrong? And he's shaking like a leaf, Butch, just shaking, and I said, what's wrong? And he said, Dad, there's a creature in there. And I'm going, oh, okay. A vivid imagination of a 15-year-old boy. And he said, honest, he didn't know if it was a Bigfoot. And now that you talk about this wolf-like creature, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But he said, whatever it was running toward us, not away from us. He said, I know it wasn't another kid or another human because it just felt too big. You know, you could just sense that. But, man, he came flying, Butch, out of the woods. Who knows what he saw?
Mm.
Who knows what was out there?
Well, you know, one case, a lady who walks her dogs in a cemetery that's close by the home. It's an older cemetery. I mean, I don't even think it's used anymore. And she always parks the side of an outbuilding they have there where I guess they keep the lawnmowers and stuff. So she parks in there. But she has her daughter with her, who's a teenager. And the teenager says, oh, it's too cold to go out and walk around with the dog. You go walk the dog. I'll sit here and listen to the radio. And as the lady goes off with the dog, walks the dog, the young girl feels the car move, you know, a shake. And she looks around. She doesn't see anything. And then she turns around after the second time, and she sees what she describes, her description, a werewolf. And she starts screaming and carrying on, and this thing comes up alongside the driver's side, and she's on the passenger side, and it's peering in at her, and she's losing her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes back, comes up her side of the car. Now she's getting over to the other side, and it just kind of looks in the mirror the rearview mirror on the side of the car and walks back and goes behind that building. Now the mother comes back and all she sees is her daughter jumping around inside the car, losing her head. You know?
Yeah.
She's just freaking out and she can barely get out what she's saying. And she finally gets to talk and says, you know, what she saw. And I said to her mother, I said, you didn't go behind that building, did you? And she said, no, I got in the car and we went home. And I said, well, we'll be up in that area shortly, so we're going to go check that out. But that's the kind of, this thing doesn't show any fear. I mean, I can't, of all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Bigfoot cases I've read, never one did a, you know, like Bigfoot come up and, you know, with the exception of the hoaxes, forget the hoaxes.
And that happens.
Yeah, I mean, how many Bigfoot come up and like sit down at your campfire or check your car out or while you're in it, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. And so these cases, you know, the more I search, the more I research, the more we find. And they go back a long time.
All right, let's go to the phones. We're lining up here for you, Butch. Stories and questions. We'll go to Tim in Austin, Texas, to get things going. Hey, Tim, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good. Good to have you with us.
Hey, you and your guests, this is an amazing story. I'm of Lenape and Cajun descent.
Okay.
My ancestors are from Louisiana, but I've been, like, I've spent most of my time in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, Central Pennsylvania, and Central Texas.
Okay.
And I've dealt with this creature that you're speaking about many, many times.
Tell us a few stories. What the heck happened?
Okay, we call it a Lugaru or a Rugaru.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, like, I personally believe that it's a completely natural animal. It walks on 2 feet, but somehow evolved into a man-like creature.
Maybe.
I've witnessed, even in Wisconsin, I've witnessed footprints that look like large dog prints, but obviously made by a two-legged animal.
Yeah.
I've dealt with this creature, especially in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and around Central Pennsylvania in Lake Racetown Park, which is a state park in Central Pennsylvania.
Have you seen it, Tim, directly?
Yes, I have, and I've heard many stories, and most of my family and friends talk about it. Like, it's just, like, as you're talking about a coyote, or you're talking about a raccoon, we consider it just a natural animal of the woods. The one thing I can assure you of is that it does not attack people. What it does is it stares you down and tries to scare the heck out of you.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never known it to charge. And it's obviously larger and stronger than you are. And if it wanted to, it could.
Oh, tear us apart. Does it seem to have a thought process to it?
Yes, it seems very sentient.
Wow.
But at the, like I said, my people, both on the Cajun side and the Lenape Indian side, consider it to just be, we have a different word in Lenape than we do in Cajun. In Cajun, we call it Lugaru. In Lenape, we call it Wijiro.
Have you heard of that, Butch?
Yes, the Lenape in Pennsylvania were very prominent tribe.
Do you have a question for Tim, Butch, while we still have him?
Are they considered, you're saying they're conformed into human. All the stories we have, and from the Lenape up in Allentown, they do have a group up there of tribal members.
My family's from Bucks County, which is just south of Allentown.
Right, exactly. And they say that they consider this whatever to be a bad shaman, a skinwalker.
Like a lot of the people that, like, if you talk to some of the older Lenape tribes around the Doylestown, New Hope area,
mm-hmm.
and in South Jersey, they'll give you different stories. The Jersey Devil is actually based on the same creature.
Is it more animal, Tim, than human, in your opinion?
Yes, I think it's very, I mean, if you look at it in the eyes and it tries to scare you, but it doesn't attack.
Yeah.
Like, and it could easily tear you.
It could rip you apart.
Yeah, you would not run it.
Right. It obviously could tear you to pieces. It's obvious a very sentient being that's, I think, out of its own fear. It's, you know, like kind of, I'm telling you, gentlemen, I've seen them many times.
Would you prefer not to run into this thing, Tim?
They scare the F out of you.
I bet they do. I bet they do. Well, there's a witness for you, Butch, right there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. And how many more of these stories are out there? Who knows? Let's go to Chris in Mississippi on the wild card line. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, George. I'm glad that other people are seeing it, because it was 1986, it was December, actually. And I had left Mississippi, and I was living in Dallas, Texas. And I'd been out there for about 2 years in the city. And I came back home, and my cousin and me were going somewhere. And I said, look, I'd really like to see some deer or something, some wildlife. And it was nighttime. And she said, well, we'll take a gravel road. You know, it connects from 82 Highway, kind of where 82 and 55 come together in Mississippi. And so we're on the gravel road, and we're in a little Toyota pickup. She's driving. And we see what we think is a deer about maybe 30 yards in front of us. We come over a little knoll on the gravel road. And all of a sudden, we race up to it, maybe 15 feet away from it. And we stopped, you know, with the headlights on it, thinking, I remember seeing some kind of little animal take off running, and it was hunched over the animal, but it stood up, and it had its back to us, and that's when we saw how muscular and how big it was. And most animals would go left or right, just be out in the woods, you know, like running away from you, like mm-hmm. a deer would or any other wildlife.
Sure.
This thing stood up, and then it turned around, and it walked straight. Well, if you ever seen a dog's leg, I call it like a backwards elbow, the back leg.
Yeah.
But the legs were as big as like a mule or something. I mean, they were big, like a horse. I mean, it was wider in the middle, and at the top it was like a man's shoulders, and it was at least 7 foot tall, because when it turned around and walked toward us, I remember when it still had its back to us, if you ever seen a bear, it's got like a lot of mud. That's why I believe it's a real animal, because it had clumps of mud dried on its... Didn't have any kind of tail, but it had like mud, clumps of mud that was dried on its fur, mm-hmm. where its rump was. But when I was in the passenger seat, and as it came toward the front of the truck, it went around to her side, and it was so tall that I couldn't see above the hood of the truck. I could only see like from the chest down, but I saw the way it was walking almost like it bumped funny like a dog. But
you must have wanted out of there, Chris.
Well, I tell you the truth. What happened was, as it walked by my cousin's driver's side window, I was seeing the fur and everything, and I watched her. She had her hands on the steel wheel, and we were completely stopped. And and she looked up at it, and she looked back real quick and made like a sound like that.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, I got to see what this is, and I looked out the back window, and it just kind of walked right. I mean, it was 3 or 4 inches from the truck. That's how it wasn't scared of us. But when it got up on a little sage grass bank on the left side of the road, it stopped and it cocked its head, and it never looked directly at me. And I always say, if it would have looked directly at me, I probably would have had an heart attack. But it gave me this most evil look, and it had like a snout, you know, and a round head with pointed ears. But I've actually called. I know y'all know Linda Godfrey.
Yeah, know Linda well.
I talked to her and Clyde Lewis one night, because they were had a show about it. And but see, the thing was, for years, this was 86, and for years I thought, me and my cousin thought, you know, don't tell anybody. We did tell a few people, and we actually drew it, you know, and they said, well, that's the same, y'all saw the same thing. But I guess it was in the 90s when the Bray Road Beast came out, they were started seeing Wisconsin. And we, my mom called me, and she said, yeah, other people saw what y'all saw. And I was so glad that, because I thought, well, it's a demon or it's an interdimensional being, but that mud on its rump, that made me think, well, it had to be real because it had dirt on it, but it's not afraid, and people don't need to hunt it.
It's exactly, Chris, as Butch has been describing here, Butch, where it's got these characteristics. They seem to have these similarities all over the place, Butch.
Yeah, and like I said, up until November 2014, we never had a report.
Man.
And then 2014 up till now, I mean, we're getting them left and right. So,
Butch, are there any human characteristics here on the face or anything, or is it all animal looking?
All animal, all wolf-like, large head, you know, long snout, ears, tail, the whole bit.
We have
no resemblance to human at all.
We have Pasquale in Santa Barbara, California now. Hi, Pasquale. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Yeah, I had a couple experiences, but I wanted to offer my opinions first.
Sure.
But I think that these beings exist on another dimension, but that some people tune into them naturally, especially when we get out to the wilderness. But I do believe that witches and those shamans in the United States, there are these practices, like they call them the skinwalkers. And I did actually,
that's right,
I met two who were very gentlemanly to me. One was on the East Coast, and he was a bear skinwalker, and I saw him kind of walking around on all fours in this woman's garden that I was visiting up in the mountains. And he was stretching his arms out far, and I asked him what he was doing. He says, "Oh, you can see me." He said, I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I've been doing this for a very long time. Most people see me as a bear." That's what he told me. And then when I went inside, the woman says, "You were pretty brave. You didn't get away from that grizzly too quick." And I said, I told her what I saw, you know. And then one time, that was in the East Coast. And then one time near New Mexico, I can't remember exactly, but say New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado area, I was traveling. I drove across the United States about 36 times, so I had a lot of adventures. And one time I was just hanging out in this area on a reservation, and there was a man who came over this, you know how they have washes in certain parts of the desert areas?
Yeah.
So it was like a little ravine. He was coming over that, and then there was an Indian chief that started walking over who heard him, and I saw him as a human being, but the Indian chief got scared, and he told me, "He sees me as a wolf." That's what this fellow said. He said he was like, to me, he seemed like a radiant being.
He sees you as the wolf, though.
No, he saw the other guy as a wolf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And the Indian chief was kind of saying stuff and looking kind of frightened. And but he was, with the other guy, the guy that the Indian chief saw as a wolf, I did see for a glimpse, for a split second, a human with a wolf's head. But not like the kind you were describing. He looked like a young masculine, but not like overly muscular, but he kind of looked like a spiritual being. So I wanted to share that. And then twice I've been traveling, and I had an experience. Actually, one of the people that saw me once called in the Coast to Coast maybe 8-10 years ago. I was driving across the United States with a friend. My buddy wanted to stop at this house that he knew the people of, but he wasn't sure if they were there. It turned out that there was no one there, but in the back of the house, we pulled in the back, and he said, "Okay, stay in the car. I'm going to go around and see where they are." But of course, I didn't stay in the car. I got out, and the motion started a light in the back, and somebody else came and saw me, and I didn't say anything, and he got very frightened. And I believe that I went into that dimension where I became like a wolf man.
You are that to them. That could be. And for people who don't know what a skinwalker is, it's a person with the natural ability to turn into any animal he or she desires. But how do they do that? We'll talk with Butch about that next. It's our final segment with Butch Witchkowski, and we're going to take your phone calls, your stories next hour. We've got Fright Night open lines, plus general open lines as well. Okay, George Norrie back with you. Butch Witkowski with us. This is our final segment. Butch, so the skinwalkers, of course, primarily prevalent with the Navajos, but other Native American tribes as well. These are human beings who can turn themselves into just about any animal. But who are the people? Who are the human beings? How do they do this?
They're shamans. They have a turn to the dark side. It's witchcraft. They have to have they have to take the life of a family member. There are no good shaman skinwalkers.
Skinwalkers, okay. Is evil? Is it evil? Is it evil?
Are always called skinwalkers, or them, or he who walks on all fours. The individuals strive for power over everybody else is what they're looking for. They have a drive to amass power not only over an individual but a family or a whole tribe. They don't necessarily have to kill anybody, but they can make somebody awful sick. They can make a whole family sick. There are old debts to pay from, you know, tribal wars and such. It's a very not complicated. It's just witchcraft, and it's very dark.
And can they revert back to the human state anytime they want?
Yes, but I understand from the Cherokee that there is a time when they can't do that anymore, and they will stay in whatever form they're in when that time comes.
Oh.
Nobody knows when that time is, or nobody really knows how long they live. So if they're in the shape of a wolf...
they're stuck as a wolf.
Yeah, and if they're in the man form, then they're stuck in the man form. Nobody knows the time span of which they live in. They're very... the word they use is... an individual who has a longing to live forever.
What a way to do it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Allentown, Pennsylvania. Jeff's turn on Coast to Coast on the Wild Card line. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, George. Long-time listener, first time on the air.
Yeah, I'm glad you got on.
Yeah, it took me quite a number of years. Even got your shirt and your book. Had a couple questions for your guest, Butch, tonight.
Sure.
As I do a lot of hunting in central Pennsylvania, there's this particular mountain. They're called the Bald Eagle State Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly in Snyder County, there's a ridge they call the Shade Mountain. And the elevation's probably about 2,200 feet. And occasionally, not the coyotes, because you can hear them mate. You know, during mating season, you can hear the yips in the howls. But you hear some really, really strange, high-pitched, kind of not like a bark and kind of not like a coyote. And I was just kind of wondering if that's around the area that maybe you might be mentioning.
We do have a couple reports in that area. They're not as dominant and not as information-filled as the ones we have. There are...
they're out there
in that area.
Well, but, you know what? That's three more than you'd get in most places.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we're getting these things, and it's just kind of mind-boggling because, like I said, up until 2014, we never had anything like this. And there were no other reports like this. The reports in western Pennsylvania were mostly dogman, and the reports here that we received are more this wolf-like creature or whatever it is.
Thanks, Jeff. What do you think is causing this uptick in sightings?
I don't know, but it's been an uptick in everything. It's an uptick in UFO reports. It's an uptick in abductions. While we're talking here, I just got a one from Chicago.
Maybe it has to do with world events. Maybe we conjure these things up when we get frustrated or depressed or something. Maybe
it could be.
You know what? I don't know.
You have these folks that, you know, if the reports would be different, you know, like in description or mannerisms or the sighting itself, I can understand that. But, and I would probably lean toward what you just said, but these are all the same. I mean, their descriptions are the same, the glowing yellow eyes, the shape, the height, the muscular body. I mean, everything is the same. There's no differentiation of, like, say, a dogman or Bigfoot as opposed to what this thing is. And it's just, it's at the point where, you know, there's something there. I mean, all these people are just, they're not crazy. I mean, it's just like, do I believe in Bigfoot? Well, I believe there's something out there.
People are seeing something.
That's right.
I don't know what it is, but they're seeing something.
We don't have any proof of what they're seeing. There's no DNA. We have no hair samples. I mean, all that stuff. Same thing with this, but this is relatively new. I mean,
well, Melba Ketchum thinks they have.
I find reports in 1865 describing the same thing.
Let's go next to Bridgeport, West Virginia. Carrie's with us east of the Rockies. Hey, Carrie, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I saw something similar to this, and I've never told anybody. I saw it back in 1999, and I feel apprehensive even about telling you all, but it was, I worked in Virginia, and I lived in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. And I was driving from Virginia to the eastern panhandle, being back home, which is just south of the central Pennsylvania area. And all those states are very close together. The borders are very close together in that area. And a deer popped out in front of me, and I slowed down, and the deer went on, but this wolf creature was chasing it.
Huh. Like what we've been describing?
Yeah, yes. And that's the thing was, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was like it was a man down on all fours.
Oh, now this one was on all fours because everybody else has them on just the back two.
No, this one was on all fours running, but it was like the front, but it was the back of a man. Like it was flat. You know how it's flat?
What's flat?
Well, you know, the back of a person is flat. Where?
Oh, you mean his back?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about his butt for a moment.
No. And he was running, but here's the thing was, I hit it with the car.
You hit it with the car?
And it was running. It was running faster than I've never seen an animal run before. Now I've been in a lot of wilderness areas.
Yeah.
Backcountry of Alaska. I've hiked in North Dakota, South Dakota. I hiked the hardest part of the Appalachian Trail, and I've seen a lot of animals. And this thing was running faster than I had ever seen any animal run. And it was a silverish gray, and it was like a man down on all fours running.
After you hit it, what happened to it?
Well, I my heart was pounding, not only just because of hitting it, but my heart was pounding because I've never seen anything like this before. So I went back and I looked for it, and I didn't see it. I didn't get out of the car because I was so afraid.
Right, but you don't think you killed it?
No, I didn't, because I had to go past there every day to work, and I looked for it every day for a week and never found it.
My gosh. All right, Butch, these stories just keep coming, don't they?
Yeah.
Thanks, Gary.
Kind of spooky, isn't it?
It really is. It's weird. Okay, let's go next to JD in Pennsylvania. JD is a first-time caller. Hi, JD. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Hey, George, right off the top, I just wanted to thank you for keeping me alive at night, because you keep me up, that's for sure. My wife and my kids would absolutely thank you.
Okay, good.
But I have two questions. The last question's unrelated. Butch, the description of this wolf creature that you're talking about, is like the top of its head have like a wolf head, and then like the rest is like a human body? Or I'm not kind of like picturing it in my head.
It's got a wolf. It's got a wolf face and head, and an animal wolf-like body that is very muscular. That almost looks like a human that would be working out. It's got that kind of appearance to it.
Now, George, did you ever see that movie, The Pyramid?
Yes.
Is it almost like that? Clear?
Yeah, really close.
Okay. All right, and my second question is unrelated. About 6 years ago, the first time I ever heard of Coast to Coast and listened to it, you had a gentleman that called in. He was flying his airplane and towards Area 51, and he just got cut off. Did you ever hear anything else about him?
That case, that was with Art, and that was in, gosh, 1996, 1997. and nobody ever heard anything about him again. Now, I will tell you, that call apparently came in on an April 1st, so it may have been, it was April 1st. But that's it. Nobody's ever heard anything else about him. Got time for maybe a couple more calls here, Butch, and then that's it. But let me ask you, what's next on your plate, Butch? What are you up to?
Well, next thing on the plate is we're going to be heading back to that area with more people, more equipment.
Be safe.
Come up with.
Just be safe.
I'll try.
Are you bringing any cages or anything?
I don't think this is something you're going to catch or trap. I'm hoping to get sound. I'm hoping to get video. I'm hoping to get pictures. I'm hoping to get some infrared and some heat-seeking, thermal imaging, video and pictures. That's basically all we can do.
Will you have a weapon?
Yes.
If it comes at you, will you shoot it?
I'll do whatever I have to do.
To survive?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't blame you in that case. You see, I'm opposed to shooting Bigfoot because you see it out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if your life is threatened, you got to protect yourself.
Exactly.
There's a difference. But, I mean, if it's running away, I hope nobody shoots it.
Yeah, if it's running away, it doesn't bother me.
Let's go next to Austin, Texas again. Kim is with us, Wildcard Line. Hi, Kim. Go ahead.
Good evening, George.
Evening.
That I would like to talk about the black creature thing. I think it ate my cat years ago when I was camping out in the woods.
What?
Probably about 2013.
What happened?
That I've been camping out and I saw this creature in broad daylight the first time, and it looked directly at me. It was probably 25 yards away. It was not a fox. It was not a dog. It was not a coyote. It was not a mountain lion or a cat.
Standing upright?
Yes, standing upright, black animal.
Much like what Butch has been describing in other colors?
Exactly. That I'm not sure if it was a hybrid animal, a cross between a dog and something else.
Now, how do you know it ate your cat?
I took my cat out one day, and he was on a leash, and I put to a tree. I was using him with a tree. And he was scrubbing around on the ground. I unclipped him, and in like 5 seconds, he was gone. Searched for him for months. Never found the leash, the collar, any part of the cat. And I'd seen this animal riding the bus when I crossed in front of the bus. I got off of the bus, shined my light down the pipeline, and his eyes were like green, small, beady eyes.
You think that thing got the cat?
He had a profile of his head sideways. It was like a fox.
Well, it's close. That's similar.
His body was more sleek like a cat and it was black and had a gray striped tail.
Let us hope, Kim, that the cat, your cat, escaped, but you just never, never know. Butch, are there cases where they eat animals?
We have none other than the one where the animal, the creature is chewing on the roadkill. That's the only one we have.
Who would want to eat? Well, there are some people who actually eat roadkill, so I guess this thing would too, huh? Next up, we go to Richie in West Virginia. Hey, Richie, thanks for calling. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, George.
Sure thing.
First time being on the air. Thank you. And I just got just a couple of questions real quick.
Okay.
One question is about alien abductions, what I actually was calling about the implants. I'm sure you're aware of the so-called implants that people had taken out of them.
Absolutely. Whitley Strieber still has one floating around by his ear.
Right. I was wondering if you can take an implant out of the human body, since they say it sends off a signal wave, and then the signal stops when you take the implant out, if you just put it into another volunteer-like individual, and see if it would operate and work, and maybe keep him under observation, see if he was going to be abducted. I thought maybe that might be something interesting to look at.
Okay.
And my other question is to Butch about the dog man, because I've been up around that area in Pennsylvania many, many times. I've never seen anything up there myself, but I've heard other people have talked about a big, large creature like that many times. But I'm wondering, Butch, have you ever had any reports of that creature being seen during the daylight, or has it always been towards dusk in the evening time?
No, both day and night.
Both day and night?
Yes.
Okay. Well, my best advice to you is to good luck on your venture. I hope you find something, but be very, very careful, because if it's something that's going to be intimidation, it could be very dangerous if it was to feel threatened or fear any kind of way. So I do wish you the best of luck, and hope you catch something. And thank you again, George, for having me.
Thanks, Richie.
Thanks, Richie.
We've got open lines coming up in just a moment. On one hand, Butch, it's exciting to be able to go on this kind of an expedition. On the other, it could be kind of scary, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
you look at it both ways. I mean, you know, when you're loading up and, you know, you're getting ready to go out and you get there and you're sitting down there for a few minutes, you're thinking, okay, so now what do we do?
I wouldn't want to sleep in a tent knowing that this thing was out there.
We do sleep in a tent.
Oh, great. I want a cabin with a lock on the door.
I'm thinking something like an M1A1 Abrams tank would be great.
That would be nice to sleep in, too. Butch, thanks for being on the program, and truly take care of yourself, okay?
And thanks for having me, George. Take care now.
I'm going to come back in a moment. We're going to have general open lines, of course, for you. Those of you on hold, Bobo will check in with you to see if you want to be part of open lines. But it's Fright Night. I want you to scare the living daylights out of us. Fright Night.